Thank you so much, Joan and Chris, and everything that you guys do for poetry in the city. It's so such an honor to read for the Great Hemingway series for the first time. All right, I'm working on some new stuff. It's all about grief. Sorry in advance. this is Bird Feed. I bought my dad a bird feeder with a Wi-Fi enabled camera. We downloaded the app to our phones and connected everything. In a couple of months, I could recognize faces. The cardinal always comes first. I can tell a house sparrow from a song sparrow. In an unrelated dream, I select a sensible casket for someone. When the camera captures my dad tipping out more sunflower seeds in the cold, I save the file to my phone. He prefers the woodpeckers, downy or red-bellied, but I feel something for the purple finches and the round junco. I think about getting in the Allegheny under the bridge where the garlic mustard chokes the swamp rose. But then what? I hate to be cold. When the white-breasted nuthatch came, I felt it was a reward for my grace. And the problem with that is sometimes you pick up the phone and you can't have your medication anymore. And what did you do to deserve that? My dad's backyard is peculiar in the live feed. The lens casts down weakly on the row of duplexes. The sun sets red in total distortion. The motion sensor can detect the delicate leg of a city doe two doors down, or a Carolina wren on the ground, where many times I imagined my life would be one way or the other. Now my dad says the birds sing when they see him. It seems to me they never stop. I've been reading a lot of Szymborska lately because I find her work really generative for prompts. And it turns out she has a poem called Plotting with the Dead. It's just a series of questions that I decided to answer. So this is after Plotting with the Dead. Szymborska asks after my dead. Under what conditions do you dream of the dead? Often, in the late morning hours in November, at the pitch of a fever, with my finger in an odd book, in a room of observation. But this time, I was alone in a great white hall. It was the night before my wedding. I was awake. I was dressing 24 round tables with green velvet linens. I had to gather and toss the tablecloth across the broad diameter and walk the circumference of each table three times, stooping to pull the fabric evenly beneath the vinyl chairs. Like in church, the kneeling had finally made me sick. My mother was in the hospital again. I sunk down to finish my job and went blind. Then, busy blue shapes dawned around me. 12 women sitting on their heels, fussing seriously with the tablecloths, shifting weight from hip to hip in quiet cooperation. What do they hold in their hands? I brought myself to stand and watch as the dead went about fixing my shoddy work. My grandmother and my aunt, their bare knees and fleshy arms touching each other again in a shared task, their long fingers worrying the room into perfect order. And who's behind them? Weren't these the mothers of my dearest friends looking down familiar noses at their work, their names given to me, Mendy, Debbie, Teeny, stone fruits from another place? And in their eyes, what? I recognized mothers I found in the ground, too. Carolyn with her long braid and house dress, then Etta, then Carrie, then Eliza. Do they say where they come from? It seemed immaterial whether I might have called them up out of secret chemistry for comfort, apportioning myself to each image like water into a row of glasses, or whether I was briefly seeing sideways into the place where time keeps our mothers, who sit on their heels for us in intercession. What do you reply? I understood the argument against my abandonment and said nothing. I've written exactly one COVID poem. This is it. Safe smoke. It's spring again. Tonight I can hear the soprano cantata of chorus frogs from the pond behind our house. Do you remember when we waited at the window all winter for an ice rink? When we watched the morgue trucks fill up on our phones? And then we went into mourning in warm coats to try the ice. I took the milking stool you made by hand, the one I used to clip your hair in the yard and pull up purple radishes for breakfast. We laced two pairs of old skates, and I taught you footwork from my lessons, and we laughed the vultures out of the redbud trees. I watched for your breath then, made plain to me in the cold light. It was the safe smoke I drew on every night of that terrible year. This is Conversation with the Wind. We bought a kite for $7 and climbed the hill. So what? Our parents disappointed us. You lifted the kite to your face and the wind accepted it without trouble. You ran then, tossing your jacket, tugging at the line so the kite pitched and pulled higher. We were laughing. It was floating. It was funny. Sometimes the wind ripped at the kite, wrenching it suddenly sideways. Sometimes the wind abandoned the kite in a dopey free fall and snatched it up at last before it sliced the green, sending us tripping over the pursuit of levity. Once I became the kite on the line. It was terrifying, and you wound me down. The long tails chattered in the light, and the light made our eyes wet and dull. I wandered away to make you a mouse bouquet of spring beauty and ragwort. Bittercress exploded into seed under my shoes. The afternoon turned out not to be an adversary. I remembered my mother would die. I knew I would live and sometimes love to. You brought the kite in from the sky, and the grackle shimmered in its place. After an hour, the conversation was over. Just two more for you. Solstice. Yesterday, the light was long, and we stood to consider it at the window. The neighbor's barn was 30 blues in quick succession. Then it was over with. I thought of each of my dead. Our house plants shook and drew breath imperceptibly. If they signaled some message to one another, it had probably nothing to do with us. Once again, thanks so much. This is my last one. Poem ending with a line from Wang Wei. A certain mood sometimes befell my dead aunt when she was alive. She could, she said, sense the spirit of her late husband embodied by her cat. Having never met the man, I took the cat's face in my hands and told him hello. No, she said, embarrassed, it's not all of the time. My concern now is, does or does not the robin regard me? I watch a moth from a boat with my mouth open, which is a kind of keening. I name the lizard on the woodpile, beach plum, come here. The firefly on my car door is on an errand, and maybe it's nothing to do with me, but the green spider making useless work out of my hair, so-and-so, even he could be one of my dead, my somebody baby. It is not sad to go out into the field. Why do you ask? The field is crowded. It is sad to walk in the house and shut the door. Thanks again.